Radio Occupy, and I'm Get a Job Rob, and I'm with...
And who may you be?
Danny the Bollocks Burns.
And also next to Danny is...
Mark.
And...
Darren, mate.
Darren, and do we...
Connor.
And we have Connor. Now, what would you like to start the discussion on tonight, Danny?
Well, basically, what I'd like to talk about today is why we're here in general. And I think we're all here for different reasons. Me personally, myself, I think the existence that the human race has led up to now has been wrong. And we have to end the cycle of victimhood. We need to start afresh and say that the problems of the past cannot affect the issues of morality in the existence of the human race today. And at the same time, I do believe that we have the right to enjoy ourselves. And in that right to enjoy ourselves, I do love to drink and smoke. And I love to play music. And my protest is a protest that is even in the very idea of living. Because, believe it or not, the fact that we live and smile without the system, it hurts them more than they could ever imagine. And I do believe that something will change, maybe not now, but soon. And it is a question of patience, but eventually the system will change. And if it doesn't, well, then we're just fucked. And that's what I have to say for the moment.
And Dan, what do you believe that we can do to make a change?
Well, I believe what we can do to make a change is keep a strong community. I believe we can keep ourselves well informed. I believe that we can keep ourselves in touch with what does it mean to be a human being? And what does it mean to be a human being? It means to really, truly enjoy the moment, enjoy your existence, and not always be suffering the consequences of the thousands and hundreds of years of the past generations that has created a mass of debt that will weigh down future generations for generations. I believe that we have to extinguish the debt and get along with our lives and enjoy.
And do you have anything to add to that, Mark?
No, I think that pretty much summed it up. You know, at the end of the day, like you said, everyone sort of has the different reasons for being here at the end of the day. Everyone has different ideas about what's wrong, and everyone has different solutions to that problem. And, you know, so it's sort of more like, you know, for me, everyone needs to live life the way that they feel is right. You know, because at the end of the day, yeah, everyone can stand here, yeah, and preach goodness and everything else, yeah, that's and peace and love and everything that's most supposed to make the world a better place. But if you don't practice it on a day-to-day basis with the people that's around you, then it's never going to amount to anything. It's just words at the end of the day. You know, whatever community you're from, always put back to that community, you know, whatever you feel. Even if you've not taken from the community, you know, but always put back into the community and the people around you, you know, and just look after each other at the end of the day. You know, when you see wrongdoings going on, don't just wait for police and just think that the only way to solve matters is through the system, you know. Speak to people, see where the problem lies, you know, and make your own opinions about what the problem is, yeah, and do as you see fit to fix it at the end of the day with all the greatest peace and love and all that.
And Connor, what have you got to add to this?
I don't know, lads. Danny and Mark have hit the nail on the head. I think what both of them are saying and what I definitely agree with is that the most important thing isn't about everyone having these great ideas about what's wrong with the system and how you should change it. The most important thing is actually living it practically, making a change in your own community, like Mark was saying. Because we've had hundreds of years of people coming up with all these marvellous ideas about how you could change society, and we've got nothing to show for it all this time. It needs to come out of just people, you know, talking talking in the pub or reading about it in a library and just people actually doing it, relating to each other and treating each other well, and just, as Danny was saying, just being good humans to each other. Just remembering that we don't need all this nonsense about, you know, the government and the police to sort everything out. We're all decent human beings and we can sort our own lives out ourselves.
And now I'd like to introduce our first song, which is by Tupac, Changes.
Just the way it is. Oh yeah.
So cool.
Oh, That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
If you guys could just react as if you've heard it.
Yay! And now we go back live on here with Mark. And what? No, we have to.
No, it's all right. Don't worry. No, don't worry. I can edit it.
Come on, keep going. Yeah, sure.
I'd like to bring up the discussion of whether we should have borders or whether we need the use of passports to travel. Now I think there should be no borders and we should go back to the way we used to do things. Now if we wanted to travel, we just travelled. Now what do you think on that one then?
Well, you know what, Rob, and I truly do believe in a border-free world, and I believe in a world of peace and freedom, and I believe in a world of justice for every human being. As Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And I think if we can live by them kind of morals and think that throughout the world, for us to live rich here, people live poor other places. And that does then reflect on many things such as immigration and everything else that goes alongside it. That creates then longer stance of poverty all around the world. So I think we need to even out the amount of wealth distribution throughout the world. And I think we need to take a step back for a second and realise the damage that we have already caused to Mother Nature and to each other. Because really, we are compassionate beings, and really, we do love each other, and really, we want to get fucked up and have a nice time, and, yeah, that's the truth. What do you think, Rob?
Well, I just think they should just get rid of borders, and basically get rid of, there should be no nations, there should be no deportation, and there should be no borders. We should not have to have microchips in our passports to be able to travel here, there, and everywhere. We should be able to just go where we want, without anyone telling us that we need this paperwork, we need this documentation to just be able to go from one country to another. And over to Mark.
The thing of borders is very interesting, just for the simple facts. If you look at the animosity that borders can create, you know, whether you're looking at places like England and Scotland, to Northern Ireland and Ireland, to Palestine and Israel, or to even places like East and West Germany back in the day, you know, all they seem to do is cause some sort of problems and grief. But then obviously you have to look at the other side of it, you know, where if there is no borders, then there's who governs what and who's from where, and you know, a whole lot of confusion. And yeah, so like obviously there's like any argument, there is two sides to any argument. But you know, at the end of the day, right, we are all born on one globe, yeah, that hangs in a very big place, you know, and if we're all born on this one globe, what does any one person have right to say to any other person that you cannot come here? You know, I think that in itself is just, is completely ridiculous. You know, no one should be able to say where you can and can't go. You know, it's everybody's land. You know, for someone to even lay claim to land and say this is mine, I think is ridiculous personally, because it's everyone's. We're all born here at the end of the day, and we're all people. And if equality is what we stand for, then there can't be any borders or any ownership, you know. But obviously it then begs a more complicated question of how do you go about that.
And over to Danny.
Well, you know what, to tell you the truth, Mark, I am half Irish and I am half Israeli, which is an interesting mix. And, you know, being from both of them sides of opinions, I do truly believe that people should go where they feel is free. And I believe that a world without exactly possession of ownership of a specific piece of land, where the people choose to go where they feel free, and there is a respect among each person for their own cultural identity, I believe we need to push towards a direction of that in existence. And it is possible. I see in England and I see in London that there is a common respect, by times, I will add, but there is generally a common respect for each other's identity and culture. And I believe it should be a continuing existence throughout the whole of humanity and the rest of the world. And I think it is 100% possible.
you like to add anything to that, Tom?
Yeah, I'm about freedom, I'm about equality, and I'm about fighting fascism, wherever I find it, whichever form I find it. And I think the worst kind of fascist is one that masquerades as a liberal, someone whose egalitarianism maybe leads them into being quite dogmatic and quite dictatorial. And I think we should constantly be aware that any power given to anyone can corrupt them within whichever microcosm, whether it be the EU, the UK, or even this Occupy camp. And we need to be constantly aware of what power can do to people and have checks on that. And maybe sometimes that check is a decent person saying, no, this isn't right. And that's my two cents. Thank you. I'll pass you over to someone else.
And now we're going to take a short break, yeah, and we're going to be playing Rocky Road to Dublin by the Dubliners.
Well, in the merry month of May, now from me home I started, left the girls and two were nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear, kissed me darling mother, drank a pint of beer, me grief and tears to smother, then off to reap the corn and leaf where I was born, got a stout mix on the Banish coast and goblets, a brand new pair of brogues to rock the love of the bogs and frighten all the dogs on the rocky road to Double, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to Heritage and down the rocky road and all the ways to Double and Wexfalaldy in Mullingar. Night I rested and so weary started by daylight next morning late, and there he took a drop of the pure to keep me heart and drink, and that's the paddy's cure when there is up for drinking. They hear the lassie smile laughing all the while at me curious style to touch your heart above, and he asked me was I hired and wages I required till I was almost tired of the rocky road to Double and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt to hare and turn down the rocky road and all the way to Double and Wexfalaldy. In Double and next arrived I thought it such a pity to be so still in the private view of Dublin City. Then I took a stroll all among the quality bundle, it was stolen in a neat locality. Something crossed me mind when I looked behind, no bundle could I find upon me stick a warren inquiring after the rogue, said me cunnus broke, it wasn't much and bowed on the rocky road to Double and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, went to hell and turned them down the rocky road and all the ways to Double and Wexfalaldy. From there I got away, me spirits never fail, and landed on the quay just as the ship was sailing. Captain at me road, said that no room hardy, when I jumped aboard the cap and flew for paddy, down among the pigs, did some hearty rigs, I played some hearty jigs, the water ruined me bubble, and when the folly head, I wished myself was dead, or better far instead, on the rocky road, to Double and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to hair and turn and down the rocky road, and all the ways to Double and Wexfalaldy. The boys have lived a fool, when we safely landed, called myself the fool, I could no longer stand it, blood began to boil, temper I was new as empowered out there, they began abusing harami, so well says I'm a shillelagh, I'll apply, Galway boys were by, and so I was a howling with the lower hooray, the joy and the affray, quickly clear the way for the rocky road to Double and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road and all the ways to Double and Wexfalaldy.
Dan's getting the right movement sorted. How are you keeping the lead?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm happy to see you guys. We're
in the podcast.
If you want to say something, let Rob know. I can edit.
I'll do
something. And now over to Elijah.
Good evening, people of London, I assume. Yeah, just as Tom was saying before about people in power, I think at the end of the day, the people in power and the people in the banks and the financial system, it's very unlikely they have the power to do anything against the situation because they're inside a system that prevents them from doing so. In this period of time, we're up to the people and the people alone. Humanity stands on its own two hind legs and stand up for what's right, because without that, we're not going to really get anywhere. That's how women's rights started. That's how all the racism things ended, and that's how this is going to end. The people of this world need to realise that the government are their employees and that the people themselves are the ones who own that system, and they need to stand up and demand what's right, as opposed to doing a census one time a year or voting one time every four. They need to say, we want our government to meet the true needs and expectations of the people, and if they're unwilling to do that, well, we need better politicians. And if all the people in the world were to do that, well, we'd see the end of this power greed thing. And we'd need people, as Tom said, to keep check on this. We need a system, whether it's a website or a television program, that allows the people to keep up to constant check with what is going on in their government. Because if this was the case, there'd be no ability for the top to go wrong. Well, I guess this can also be solved by localizing the governments and making it start from the bottom up as opposed to the top down. I guess that's all to do with it, guys. At the end of the day, keep speaking, keep doing what's right, and, you know, peace, love, revolution.
Yeah, just so that I'll probably put this in the arts tent. And we've got loads of people.
Now, for our last debate of the evening, we are going to be discussing the case about a young lad that was tasered and shot by the police this morning for carrying an offensive weapon. Now, do you believe the police acted in the right way, or do you think they could have done things differently?
Well, you know what, Rob, and this is what I'll say. I'll say sometimes in this state, police brutality is disgusting. I will say personally, I don't exactly disagree with a police force, but I disagree with the state they protect and the laws they go by. And I believe when they get aggressive, especially in moments of such things, I believe it's quite insane that we put our trust in such people. Where is the common grounds in which we're supposed to be human? Where is the common grounds where we're supposed to respect one another when the people protecting us leave us into states of despair where possibly we could be killed? I mean, police has... The idea of a police force has always existed, but I do believe that, and I truly do believe, that they have to be respectful. Because if the police do not respect the people will not respect the police. And if the people do not respect the police, we will see repeats of what happened in the summertime. And not that I am a man that has anything to do with any of them things, but this is the natural order of things, you know? Respect the people that you protect or the people will not respect your authority.
So what you're saying, Dan, is basically if the police continue to go about things the way they're going, we're going to see another repeat of last summer's riots. Is that what you believe?
Well, potentially. I can't say that is true, but I potentially believe that is the possibility of what could happen. And I believe that the police force in the UK and throughout the world, they have to respect the people they protect, because we actually pay their... We pay for them to protect us. We are the taxpayers, and they have to respect what we say, not us respect them. We respect each other in an equal mannerism.
So basically what you're saying is the police could have done things differently, and that basically there will be another repeat of the riots. Is that what you think?
Well, I didn't say there would be another repeat of the riots. There shouldn't be. There definitely shouldn't be, but there should be more respect and more understanding of the poverty and actually the existence that we live in this country. I mean, people are poor here. They should understand that. I mean, for a man that's earning, say, 30 grand a year and has a nice house, I mean, we can't really say that he has the right to bash some 18-year-old man who's angry because he has no money and neither does his parents, and they have, quite frankly, nothing else to do, and they're quite angry, you know? I mean, you know... Yeah, a boy got tasered and shot this morning, was it? Tasered and shot this morning. Now, I really think... Well, is he dead?
No, he's in critical...
Well, he's in critical condition. For carrying a bladed article, police brutality, we're not allowed to have this. This is a disgraceful event. They're meant to uphold the taxpayers' will. We pay their bills.
No. So, Dan, would you be saying that it's right to say that the police should pay for what they've done? The police should be prosecuted and actually have to pay...
Or at least own up.
The police should actually face criminal conviction... Just like if it was one of us attacking them.
Well, I believe that for sure. If I attacked a police officer, I would be charged with the offence of attacking a police officer. Where is the charge of a police officer attacking a civilian? That should be in their law book.
And no over to Mark.
Well, yeah, first of all, like, just want to, like, have a little moment of respect for, obviously, the man and the man's family and everything like this, you know, because, yeah, this is a problem that is going on, though, every day for every country, you know, and because we don't see it so much in this country, like, it sparks a lot more anger, I think. But, you know, also you have to look at some places where it's happening all too often, you know. But as far as this country goes, you know, there's been, I think, in the last 10 years, 350 deaths in police custody and not a single person charged. Now, that's unacceptable. You know, that is unacceptable. To show that just shows how they have a law onto themselves. And if you, it seems anyway in this world, if you are the one that is helping impose laws and enforce the laws, that you do not have to follow them. You know, and this is not the way that it can carry on. Yeah, as someone that knew the man that got killed then months ago, what sparked the riots, you know, it's a sad state of affairs, it really is, you know. And, you know, what people don't look at enough to do with all the riots as well is that that was a peaceful protest that went on from morning until night with the man's family and the man's friends outside the police station, and all they were asking for was some answers. Now, they were saying, we want to speak to a superior officer, yeah, and we need some answers. How come that this has happened to our child, our father, our uncle, our brother, you know, and our friend? And they were basically just boyed off, like, well, no, like, no one's going to speak to you. We're not going to get any superior officers, you know, sort of go away. And, you know, then as everything proceeded into the night and police were very aggressive, and before the riots even kicked off, were seen and have been videoed beating a 16-year-old girl on the floor with their truncheons or their bats or whatever they are. And, you know, then that was when everything really sparked off. And all the police did, even when it sparked off, was protect the police station. They had no interest in trying to protect any of the people that were living on Tottenham High Road at the time. It was just protect the police station. When they were kicking off the next day around different parts of London, police were stationed outside banks. In Camden, I've seen that personally. That all other shots, all people's flats and everything like that, they were left unprotected. But every single bank on the street had police officers outside it. You know, now this really shows how some people are given special treatment. You know, money seems to be everything in this world, and will continue to be. You know, and it's just really a sad state of affairs. And I'm gonna pass it on.
It's Tom. I think there's a man, he's called PC Simon Harwood. He's on trial in June for killing a man. He was in 2008, I think, at G20 in the City of London. We were against the banks. This was when we'd bailed out the Bank of Scotland. And I was there. I've got a bit of circuit board from a computer outside the Bank of Scotland. It was good. It was good. But this man, he is one of a few. He is very, very, very unlucky, because he has the same attitude of a lot of his comrades in the police that do hit people, because his job was to guard a van. But he thinks, no, I'm going to go out and twat some people. And he was very unlucky, because the person that he hit had a bit of a heart condition and he died. And I think, perhaps, maybe, like in the expenses scandal, where they sent a few politicians to jail for 6 months because they had to be seen to be doing something, and they serve some time. And I think maybe this man will serve some time, and he should. But he's not the worst of them. He was just unlucky. And the rest of the police and their toothless organisation, the IPCC, that is supposed to show some control of them, should be very, very worried. because maybe in the future we will have a lot more scrutinisation of their ways. And I hope this man goes to prison as an example to the rest of them, and I hope he scares them. Because I've had the police recently, they knocked my tooth out for nothing. And they said to me, they said, "Not so cocky now, are you?" What was I doing? Explaining the rights of law to them, which they didn't know. But it will be solved. Justice for Smiley Culture, justice for justice for Ian Thompson, and justice for the rest of the 448 people that have died in police custody in the last 50 years. I hope London doesn't catch on fire, but I can't promise anything from the rest of the people that are annoyed by this.
Thank you very much, Tom, and now over to Elijah.
Hey guys, I'm Elijah, silly lunatic fringe man from Australia. I guess the only thing I have to add on top of what Tom said is that police brutality occurs in every country. It doesn't only occur in London where riots happen, it occurs in Italy where riots happen, it occurs where Greece happens, Iceland, even happens in Australia. I think it was 2 years ago, there was a man in Australia, a young man who was only 17, who was shot dead in the streets because he held a knife and was fucked up on ice, saying ice is good, but the police did wrong in shooting him from 10 metres away, just because he had a knife, and even though they had stab-proof fucking vests on, like the guy did today, you know? So police brutality is obviously a massive problem in this world and the way that we react to it. However, one of the biggest problems is that people blame the police for this, and this is not the case. These police are taking orders. These police, at the end of the day, whether they're kettling student marches, however, I understand there are some egoic policemen who would love to beat the crap out of a coloured person. I'm not denying this. All I'm saying is that there are young women and young men who've just went through the academy and they're experiencing things they don't want to experience, like beating people they love in a student march. We shouldn't be blaming the people who beating us. We should be blaming the people who are giving them orders, who they cannot defy unless they are, otherwise they're going to be fired and their whole career, which they've spent 10 years on, is going down the drain. I'm not saying they shouldn't. The only thing is that there are problems that exist beyond the problems that we see. The police are not necessarily a problem. The people who pay the police are a problem. The people who wish to enforce that law are a problem. These are the real problems in society, and the only thing that prevents us from fixing these problems is ceasing conversations. So please keep conversations rolling.
So what you're saying is, Elijah, you're coming up with excuses for the police now. No. Yeah, the fact that they're given orders to do these beatings. Now, if they don't want to do these beatings, yeah, they don't have to. They do not have to follow these orders. They are human beings just like the rest of us. Yes. Yeah, they do not have to follow their superior officer when they are told to beat someone. So I totally disagree.
No. However, all I have to say to that is that it's true, they can defy their orders and they can quit their job. However, they possibly have a rent to upkeep, possibly children to send to school. So at the end of the day, that is the only job. Whether it's like working at a convenience store, they have things they need to upkeep.
Connor. I just want to say, I can see both Rob and Elijah's points, but if I had some job like where I was selling Hoovers or something door to door and I thought I'm doing a good thing here and I'm helping people clean up their houses and stuff, and then one day my boss told me you've got to go into town and beat up a load of teenagers or you'll get fired, I just go, right then, I'll get fired, I'll get a job in Tesco, I'll do something that doesn't involve beating people up. I'll do anything other than beat people up for a living. So I don't follow this idea about the police being afraid to lose their jobs.
And back over to Elijah.
I don't disagree with that either. I don't disagree with that at all. If I was in the same position, I would potentially quit my job. However, at the same time, it's a very scary thought. You've worked a lot of time in trying to get this job, and it's originally, as Connor said, you may have went into it with good intentions, but at the end of the day, you may end up following orders you don't want to follow, whether you be JFK, whether you be Barack Obama. You're going to end up following people's orders you don't necessarily want to follow, but you will have to support your job. These people aren't necessarily not bad people. The only problem arises in that it is up to humanity at this point to stand up, because these people are in such a state and a condition where they don't know whether to go right or wrong. So we, as people who can discern right from wrong, should stand the fuck up.
And that's it for us at Occupy LSX FM, and we're gonna finish the show with our Brothers in Arms by Dire Straits. You are enjoying. Thank you.
dust covered mountains are home now for me. But my home is the lowlands, and always will be. Someday you'll return to your valleys and your farms, and you'll no longer burn to be brothers in arms. Through these fields of destruction, baptisms of fire, I've witnessed your suffering as the battle raged higher. In every life.